fun from my tasks when you don't.
Does it get you unmuted?
How? How do you do this?
Sorry, just. Hello, hello, hello. Everyone can hear me?
Yes.
Good.
All right, listen up. We've got Zeeshan Ali Khan, who's going to tell us about how he's optimized ZBus. It's 95%.
Love cool. It. Hello, everyone. Thank you. I think you should wait, and you're not disappointed before you clap. So I have a very catchy title, and I'm guessing that's how you why you came here. But let's see if I can actually entertain you with this thought. So first of all, about myself, I'm generally just an open source Linux guy from a long time. Been in. Yeah, and doing Linux related stuff, system stuff for 25 years now, almost. Love open source, and that's why I'm here. And I'm from different countries, originally from Pakistan. I also have Finnish citizenship, and I lived in many countries. These days I'm in Berlin, settled down quite a bit, so probably not moving anytime soon. But you never know. So, and for the last many years, people who know me, they know that I'm very much obsessed with this crap thing that you are probably also into. I work for a company called Juicer, and it's a startup in Berlin, and we do end-to-end charging solutions. My team works on the charging station itself, all the software, and it's all written in Rust. Cool. It's really cool stuff. Let's get to the talk. And the first question is, what the hell is ZBus? It's a pure Rust DBus library. I'm guessing a lot of people don't know what that means and what the hell is this DBus thing. And I don't blame you, because it's a very specific technology that's in a specific domains only. So if you don't know, that means you just never came, you are not blessed or cursed or whatever you can say. It's designed to be a very efficient binary IPC protocol. Like all the systems stuff that currently is there, like for example, all the systemd services, all the GNOME KDE services and application, they use this protocol heavily till this day. It started more than 20 years ago, and it's still being heavily used. And I needed that, so I created something for that, and that's ZBus. It's a DBus library, as I said. And before ZBus, there was another library already called DBus. Well, if you go on crates.io, they have squatted the name DBus. A lot of people end up using it just because of that, because that's the first hit when you search for DBus. So that was already there for years, and it was like a wrapper around a very notoriously horrible C library, C API, that nobody uses in C world. So when it translated to Rust, it wasn't that great either. And it had multiple issues, not only because it was a wrapper around C, but also the API wasn't that great, and there was many things. So that's why I created ZBus, and we also have a really cool illustration by GNOME designer Jakub Steiner. He does these really cool illustrations, and he made one for us. That's cool. I'm supposed to be the driver. I used to have a beard. I cut it today, this morning, actually. But the thing is that over the years, it has become the go-to DBus crate. As I mentioned, the only reason that I know people still end up using DBus RS is because of the name squatting. But otherwise, if they really pay attention, then they always choose ZBus, because their API is much more ergonomic. It's pure Rust, so porting is also easy to different architectures and stuff. It has won, basically. There's a lot of praises from people who, when they use it, they come and say, okay, this is so awesome. They might find a bug or two here and there, but usually they're super happy about this crate. What is the problem then? Well, like, everything is done, right? Like, it works, everyone loves it. What's the problem then? But before we go there, I have to tell you a bit more detail about how ZBus is working under hood. So before I made ZBus, I made the lower layer of it called Zvariant, which is the encoding and decoding, or as we in Rust world like to call serialization and deserialization, of the protocol, of the wire protocol, the encoding. And the Zvariant is responsible just for that. And it's the first version wasn't Sardeh-based, but the first issue someone filed was, why are you not providing a Sardeh interface? Because as you probably know, in the Rust world for serialization and deserialization, Sardeh is the king. Like, everyone just uses that. It's taken for granted. Maybe it will be at some point part of the standard library even. But 2.0 was the main change, was that I made it based on Sardeh, and it was much nicer API as well because of that. But I also noticed while working on this Sardeh API that there are some very fundamental incompatibilities between ZBus and Sardeh model. And also, up to some extent, generally in Rust. Like, for example, option. So option is a type that is used a lot in the Rust world for very good reasons, because sometimes you need nullability, and this is a very safe way of representing that. But also, it's true for any Sardeh API that you... And some processors actually require things to be aligned properly, the specific types in a specific way. And the way you do alignment is that you add 0 bytes, like in serialization, and in deserialization, you skip these 0 bytes. But this alignment, this padding that you're adding and skipping, is dependent on the data type. So, for example, 32-bit integer will require four bytes. 64-1 would be requiring 8 bytes and stuff like that. So it depends a lot on the type. And that's where the problem comes up. Because in ZBus spec, if you have an empty array, you are supposed to add a padding. You have supposed to align for the first element, even if there is no first element. So if it's an empty array, you are supposed to align the first element. And that's, in my opinion, quite stupid, but that's what the spec is, and it hasn't changed for 20 years, and it can't be changed now. It's like it will break the whole world. So that does not work well with Sardeh, because in Sardeh you have, like, for example, this is my a very simple serializer, right? Like, this is the trait that you implement if you are implementing a serializer, which is obviously called serializer. In this one, when you are serializing a sequence, which is the Sardeh data type or the name for arrays, for example, that's what it maps to, you first get like this serialized sequence called on you. And this one, as you can see, it does not have any information about the type that will be encoded, not even in a generic way. So the only thing you know here is that something is about to be, some array is about to be serialized. What type of array? No idea. So if you have an empty array, this is when you get this, you don't know how much padding to add or how much to skip in case of deserializer. And that's what makes it completely incompatible. So I was hitting my head around this for a long time, because all encoding API that you will see with Sardeh, they just take your data type that you have, that's your data, and it only needs to implement 2 traits from Sardeh, serialize and deserialize. Serialize for serialization, deserialize for deserialization. And as long as your type implements those, it's going to work for any of those formats. So you can put the same same type. You can encode it into TOML, and you can encode it into JSON, and all of those. But it doesn't work exactly like that for ZBus because of this fundamental incompatibility. So I needed something extra. So as you can see, like this, implement this sequence serializer trait, you implement it, you get a serialized element, but in empty sequence, you will not, this will never be called. So you never get any information. How did I solve it? Enter dbus type signatures. So dbus has the concept of signatures that define what is encoded in a specific message. And that is always actually transmitted with the message itself. So you can write generic clients that can encode and decode any service without knowing anything about it. So it's very introspectable, and this is part of that introspection. So I was like, okay, I can just make use of this. It's not as nice as for other formats, but I just need to have another trait called type that people have to implement in addition to serialize and deserialize if they want to do dbus communication. And it looks a bit like that. It's extremely oversimplified here. It's like very different, actually, in reality, the signature. I encoded it in this, like this in the beginning, and it's just like it's a wrapper around a string, basically. You have a type trait that all types need to implement, and they just provide me a signature. There are cases where you need a dynamic type, where the signature is more at runtime. So that for that you have dynamic type and dynamic signature, basically. It's a bit me because Serde is everywhere. Everyone can implement it. Most of the crates you find where they provide some data type that you can use, they implement Serde for you. Serde serialize and deserialize. You just have to enable a cargo feature, usually called Serde. But they all provide that. But nobody is going to provide for dbus special, you know, features or implementation because it's very niche. So it's a bit me in that sense, but it's also me in the sense that if there's a location, so usually it's represented as a string in the end. So when someone gives you a complex type, usually it is a complex type if it's a custom type because it's struct or an enum, and that one you will have to put multiple strings together, and it has to be at runtime. For reasons I won't get into. I tried really, really hard, actually. I talked to many Rust experts. Okay, is it actually possible that I put these strings together? But the way I need it, it's not possible with current Rust. So that's also a problem, and that means a lot of allocations, and it's not const time anything. But to make it still nice enough, like as nice as I could possibly make it, I provided this type derive macro. So you can just like you in Serde, you derive serialize and deserialize. You can also derive type at the same time. So you just have to add one more thing, and that's it. So it's not a lot of work then. It's just like this. In addition to these two, you add one more to your type. Implementation for all the common types, like all the standard library types, all the basic types, of course, and also like popular external crates, like Chrono, UUID, and all the types they provide was there. So ubiquitous, it just makes sense. But it's still like not the best. Still too many allocations, as I said. And it's not const, which I would really want to have, because then you can, you know, it's just the zero cost then, right? And you want your things to be zero cost, not high cost. I was like, okay, what about the performance? Like, should we actually look at the performance? Like, because I was just talking to someone earlier that a lot of times when you are talking about performance and things like that, most people don't look at actual numbers and data. They just assume that, oh yeah, you are depending on a lot of things, so the compile time must be really slow. But if you actually look into it, usually it's not that bad. So I was like, okay, what about the performance? And fortunately, this one person who decided to write yet another dbus, libdbus, most of people use another library from glib, G-I-O, and that one has really, really nice API. For C, API is really awesome, but it's a lot more inefficient than libdbus for many reasons. So the bar is low for efficiency in there as well. But in any case, I thought, like, what is the biggest bottleneck? I need to know anyway, right? So that's where we get to something called flame graphs. Like, the flame graphs are something that shows you a lot of information of what is your bottleneck? What are the functions that are taking most time at the runtime of your benchmarks, like, for example. And there's a tool for Cargo flame graph, and you can use that for benchmarking your applications as well as your benchmarks. And I used that for